And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, I'll tell you, we're really heating up things with our new video, Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama, and the hidden cabal behind the plot to murder America. That new DVD is just, I mean, they're moving out of here. I don't think we've ever had such brisk sales of any DVD that we've produced as Rothschild's Choice. You know, people are just discovering things about Barack Obama that are unimaginable. A little bit later on, I'm going to tell you how to get Rothschild's Choice. If you haven't ordered it yet, please, I encourage you. This is one astonishing video. The way it's put together, the truth of it, I amass a mountain of evidence and documentation that no one has ever discussed. I think most people would be frightened to death to even come upon this information. But, you know, the Bible says, the book of Revelation, that there are certain people who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And the first category, according to the book of Revelation, is the fearful. Those who have fear will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know, you know, there's always things that, you know, incite fear in human beings. In every one of us. We fear getting a virus. We fear getting a disease. We fear our loved ones being hurt or harmed. I know there's a certain level of fear going on at any time. But, you know, the way to dissipate, to get rid of fear, is just to have confidence in God, that he'll pull you through. He'll work things out, that all things work together for good for them who love God. That's in the Bible. I'm just basically just paraphrasing what the Apostle Paul said in the Bible. So if you have confidence in that, then great. Don't worry so much. Sit back, calm down, put your feet on the coffee table. Well, that is till your wife comes around and slaps you on the face. Get those feet off. Oh, Wanda never does that to me. Why, she says, go ahead and put those old ugly feet on there. Put those shoes on there. Make marks on my coffee table. It's okay, Tex. All right, now you know I've probably gone too far. I think I've told the first lie I've ever told or read, the first lie that Tex Mars has told you here. No, I respect Wanda, you know, and I don't want to do that to her. She keeps a very beautiful home, and I wouldn't do that. Every once in a while, though, I take my shoes off, and then I have my socks on. You know, I tell her I'm just polishing up the coffee table then. And you know, she usually goes along with that. She does frown a little bit, but then she smiles too. So I get away with a whole lot, you know. She's a sweetheart. 32 years we've been married, and she lets me get away with a whole bunch of things. And she still smiles at me every morning at breakfast. I can't fail to get a smile out of Wanda. I have to tell her a few jokes. She doesn't really think I'm funny, but I think she smiles just to humor me. But that's okay, as long as she smiles. We start off the day the right way. Now, today I'm going to tell you some things that are probably not going to make you smile very much. They're going to make you consider, contemplate, not be fearful now. No, but think about things. I'm going to talk about a number today, a number. There's many numbers in the world, but there's only one number I'm going to talk about today. It's an important number. Has to do with Barack Obama. Has to do with life and death. Or I should say life or death. Could a number have something to do with life or death? Ah, yes. It does indeed. The number nine. The number nine. The number nine is a very special number in occult numerology. And evidently it must be an important number and a significant number to the Illuminati, because yesterday on 9/09/09, that's September the 9th, 2009, in occult reckoning, it's just 90909. And they don't count the zeros because the zero represents the great god Zoroaster. He was called by the pagans, the sun god. We know him as Lucifer, the solar logos. But that zero represents the circle that is the sun god. He is the ineffable. He is the mysterious grand architect of the universe, the Masons say. And nothing about him should be said. It should be kept secret who their god really is. So he's zero. Mention not. Well, of course, here at Power Prophecy, we mention him all the time and expose him. So there you go, Illuminati occultist. Too bad. Till we get put off the air, we're going to keep doing it. Now, 90909. So really, it'd be 999. Obama talked to America about our healthcare system. He wants to reform it. Wants to bring us a socialistic medical system. And he claims 30 million people will get free medical care under his system. And he says it won't cost us any money at all. Well, it will cost 900 billion or a trillion. But somewhere he'll take it out of the hide of the budget that exists now. Now, this year we have a deficit of a couple trillion. The bankers got 27 trillion over the last year from the Fed and the Treasury. But nevertheless, we're supposed to believe that give 30 or 40 or 50, whatever billion, they keep changing the number, million people, including whatever, don't believe anything they say, illegal aliens, give them all free health care, and somehow you can actually reduce the federal deficit. Huh? Well, I'd call that magic and witchcraft if they can do that, but they can't. They can't. But why would Obama and the Illuminati choose that date for him to give his speech? On national, all the networks carried it. Congress all met together as one. And Obama was quite eloquent. He's a very good orator, very, very clever and very smart. Gave a good speech. Probably made a lot of people say, oh, I love this man so much. He's the father of our nation now. What a great man he is. And they're probably going to vote for health care. After all, the Democrats have 60 votes in the Senate and a great majority in the House. Seems like they can just ramrod it through, and maybe they will. People of America, though, are angry. According to a recent poll, 54% of Americans classify themselves or identify themselves as angry at the federal government right now. There's a bunch of mad, angry people out there. 54% of Americans. And a majority oppose Obama's health care plan. But he insists on it. And it is a matter of life or death. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. And you'll see just what I mean by that. It's a scary, scary thing. I'm not going to talk about health care very much. I just want you to know what Obama, on August the 19th, what he told a group of rabbis. Did you know that on August 19th, Barack Obama had a telephone conference call? That's when you speak to many people at once. The operators need to plug it all in. America's leading rabbis all got on the phone at once, and Obama gave them a little talk. It's true. August 19th, search for it on Google. You'll find it. I wanted to know what he told the rabbis since, you know, I wasn't allowed to listen in on the conference call. So I went into Politico.com on the internet, a well-respected political site with political news. And there I found an interesting article about what he told the rabbis. And it has to do with 90909 and life and death, or death, I should say. What possibly could Barack Obama have told the Jewish rabbis of America? And some of them recorded it. I'm telling you, friends, this it's undeniable. And when I tell you, you're going to be absolutely amazed. You're going to be flabbergasted what he told the rabbis. August the 19th. And then yesterday, 9:09:09, he gave his speech about health care. Let me give you a little hint, because I'm going to save it for later in the program. Let me give you a little hint right now. You remember Sarah Palin said, as far as she was concerned, this Obamacare, this Obama health care plan, the Democrats were trying to shove down our throats. Did you notice that she said that the bureaucracy was going to set up death panels to decide who was going to live or die? Well, when you find out what Obama told the Jewish rabbis on August the 19th, I'll tell you, you will be angry. That 54% angry Americans will be increased maybe by a couple percent. Well, first of all, though, this number 9 itself, was that day 9:09:09 chosen? Friends, I have been able to prove to you, if you get my books like Codex Magica and Mysterious Monuments, and then, of course, we have books that we've offered here. We offered a fabulous book on numbers in the Bible. And you'll want to, or that's called Biblical Mathematics. You'll know that numbers mean everything. Here's why. God is a mathematician. In fact, he's the best mathematician that there is. Everything in this universe was created, I believe, by the word of God, yes, but he did it using some kind of a holy math that man will never understand. You know, doctors Watson and Crick, back in the 60s, who discovered this double helix DNA technology, you know, that allowed the genetic transformation, really. I mean, all kinds of medicine and science were made possible by Watson and Crick and their discoveries of DNA. And they said, evidently, even the human body, every cell in nature, everything in nature, all of matter has a certain mathematical combination of DNA. And if you take out one little item in the mathematical formula for a possum or a rabbit or a tree or a human being, it won't be the same. Everything is mathematically prescribed by God. The books of the Bible are prescribed by God. It's interesting, the King James Bible has 66 books. And I believe the meaning of that is a man, and 6 is the number of man. If man will follow every book, it leads to perfection. And 7 is the holy number of God. Man can never reach number 7. But he can strive for it. And the Bible says that we're to strive to be perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. It says, be thy perfect, also in the Bible. But it doesn't mean you are perfect, but you work toward it. Paul said, we press toward the mark. It's a race. We press on. We're in a race for righteousness. I like being in a race. I like competing. There's a book written. I've asked Wanda to get me a copy of it. She was telling me about it. She read about it. Written by two Christian teenagers. Just out. Entitled, Do Hard Things. Do Hard Things. These two teenagers who are Christians say the way that they have become successful in life and enjoy life is by not avoiding hard things, but by doing them. Don't cheat on your test at school. Don't let other people do your homework for you. Do the hard things. You grow. You prosper. It's always been my experience, hasn't it, yours, dear friends, that barriers are wonderful. Walls are fantastic. Walls are meant to be climbed. Barriers are meant to be hurdled. And we grow when we go over those hurdles. Do you know how long it would take? Are you a track and field enthusiast? I used to enjoy going to track and field meetings when I was a young man. I never was very fast. I ran the 880, and I think in a field of about 50, I usually ended up about 25. But, you know, one of the best runners in my high school. But when I got with all the other high schools and the highest, 4A and 5A, that's the highest rated schools in Texas, they were a little bit better than I was. But in any case, I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed watching people. And I especially liked the hurdle jumpers. And these guys would have to jump, run I think it was like 220 yards or something. And they would have to jump over these hurdles. Now, I want to ask you a question, friends. How long would they have taken instead of jumping over the hurdle and continuing on, and it looked just nonstop? I mean, they didn't even slow down as they went over these hurdles. How long would it have taken if they went around the hurdles, went around the barriers? It would have taken them twice as long rather than just jumping the hurdle to go all the way around it. And then they get to the next hurdle, go all the way around it. A lot of people do that. Have you ever noticed on job sites, every good supervisor will tell you that there's one or two people that do 90% of the work in an office. They're the people that like barriers, that like hurdles. When I need something done immediately, I don't go to the person, if I'm the manager, I don't go to the person that's lazy and doesn't get much done. I go to the person that's the busiest. The busiest person sometimes says, why me? I get all the work. Yeah, well, I can count on you. I know you're going to do it. You're going to do it right. Seems to be unfair. This is an unfair world. But I think those people get rewarded eventually. They will. They'll get rewarded. God made everything mathematical. It seems to me that God jumps the hurdles quite easily. And he wants us to go over those hurdles. And don't try to take things out. Do the hard things. Well, today we're going to do a hard thing by going over the number 9, the number of witchcraft, the number of evil. The number 9 is the most sinister number in all of occult numerology. But first, I want to prove this about what God thinks about numbers. Did you know God identified the beast of prophecy, Antichrist, with the number 666? Why a number? Well, God chose a number. The number of the beast, 666. Appears like that number might be important to God. Listen to the book of Revelation chapter 4. All kind of numbers here. He says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like a crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. Verse 10 says that there were 24 elders, and these 24 elders fell down before God, before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Think about all those things. 24 elders, 4 beasts, each with 6 wings, 7 spirits of God in heaven. All these numbers. Why does God have everything numbered exactly? And the number 6, boy, now that's a tough one. And then the number 666 is the triple witching number. Listen to Revelation 16, verses 12 through 13. And the 6th angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast. And out of the mouth of the false prophet, 3 unclean spirits, 6th angel. God's numbered everything. Even the last day's events. The tribe of Dan is an interesting mention in the Old Testament and the Bible. But it's not one of the tribes that God chose for his 144,000 to be saved in the last days. 144. Now count that up. 1 plus 4 plus 4 equals 9. God's going to save 9. Coded 9. 144,000. 12,000 out of each of 12 tribes. Wow. That has significance. The tribe of Dan, though, is not mentioned as one of the 12, but it was one of the 12 original tribes of Israel. Where did it go? Why doesn't God save that tribe? Why aren't they redeemed? They must be too evil. Maybe from the tribe of Dan, the Antichrist will come out. Maybe there was a reason why every tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel originally were given an ensign or a symbol for their banner, for their flag. You might say their, you know, provincial or state or national flag. Each of the 12 tribes, Judah had the lion. But a poor old Dan, they gave him the serpent. The serpent. Dan. He didn't like it. He said, I refuse the serpent as my ensign or my symbol of my people. My tribe instead will have the great eagle as our sign. But the eagle was reserved for God. None of the tribes had the eagle, but he said, that will be my sign of my tribe. Pretty heady stuff. Dan, I will not be a serpent. I will be an eagle like God. Oh boy. Friends, when you compare yourself equal to God, you're in big trouble then. Dan, the tribe of Dan, is mentioned exactly 66 times in the Bible. Did you know in the European Parliament, they must believe in numerology? The European Parliament. They've got a vacant seat. I don't know how many. I think I've got some material here that tells you how many members of parliament there are. I think they're like 1,300 or something. And each of them has a seat that's numbered in the parliament building. Yeah, they meet together. This parliament's new building in Brussels, Belgium. But there is one seat left vacant. Would you like to know what number that is? 666. That seat was left vacant on purpose by the European Parliament. You know, some hotels either don't have the sixth floor or the ninth floor. They just omit it. You go in there and say, let me see your arrangement here, and they'll show you, well, we have a fourth floor, a fifth floor, and a seventh floor, but the sixth is missing. That didn't happen to me when I went up to Grand Rapids, Michigan. My topic that I was going to speak on to a very large group there some years ago, I was going to talk about the Antichrist. They asked me to come and talk about my book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, and especially about the Antichrist. I checked into the hotel, the Amway Grand Plaza Hotel, and he gave me the key to my room. And as I was, you know, filling out their little form there at the desk, that's where the conference was held, this Christian conference. At the Amway Grand Plaza. You know, the Amway people that sell all those products? They have a giant hotel in Grand Rapids. And I looked down at the key and it said room number 666. I said, you have a sixth floor in this hotel? He said, yes. And I said, and you've given me room 666? He said, yes. I turned to one. I said, well, isn't that interesting? I came all the way to Michigan to talk about the Antichrist and these people. I'm sure they don't even know what I'm going to talk about at the desk, just a desk clerk. He gave me room 666. And before I could say anything, he said, sir, we had a basket of fruit or something. The sponsors of this program have given you some nuts and some fruit and some, you know, cookies or something as, you know, as a welcoming gift. And we went ahead and took the liberty of putting it up in your room. Room number 666. Well, I had to go to the room to get my goodies, didn't I? I had to accept the room. I wanted my cookies and my, well, my fruit package in my room. But actually, Wanda said, would you like to change rooms? And I said, no, the devil has more trouble than I do. I'm going to sleep good in room 666. It's the devil's got a problem. If he thinks he's going to scare me, I'm not going to be scared by his number. God is number 7, and he can never become that. So let old 666 try to scare me tonight. I'm going to sleep like a baby. I did. Ate some of the fruit, ate some of the cookies and the cake, drank me a big Coca-Cola. I just slept like a baby, gave my talk the next day. You say, well, Tex, how could you possibly sleep in a room numbered 666? I've got God. The devil didn't bother me all night long. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, did you know that the six-pointed star of the Jews is secretly coded 666? Yeah, it is. Now just draw it out for yourself. It's actually two triangles. And the sexual nature of it is very obvious, and occultists love it. They love it every time they see the six-pointed star, which in the occult satanic world is called the hexagram. They use the hexagram, the six-pointed star in occult numerology, and it's used in occult or satanic rituals, witchcraft rituals, to put a hex on your enemies. That's what it means, hexagram. To put a hex, a curse on your enemies. The Jews are placing a curse upon the nation, the physical nation of Israel, by adopting the six-pointed star. Now, the interesting thing about the six-pointed star is that it was Rothschild that insisted on Israel adopting this as their national flag in 1948. You see, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel who served the true God in the days of Moses and even those, you know, in the days of Elijah, the 7,000 that refused to bow down before Baal, in the days of Jeremiah, the few that truly served God and refused to go along with the wicked king, the true house of Israel has always known that the star is an evil symbol. There's only one star that has been holy, and that is the bright and the morning star, which is Jesus Christ. That's a metaphorical and allegorical name. Jesus Christ, the bright and the morning star. You know, the three magi saw his star in the sky, and they followed that star. So in effect, the star could be a holy name, a holy symbol. But like so many things, Satan pollutes or counterfeits, and his people here on earth, his human Illuminati agents, his devil people, they also counterfeit the good things of God. And they did so with this star. Did you know that in the book of Acts, Paul said that when the people of Israel came out of Egypt and Moses left to go get the Ten Commandments, they then fell into apostasy, began to have wild orgies and music and dancing. And they set up for themselves the idol, the golden calf. But they also worship the star god and goddess. The star god from Egypt, whom they worshiped in the desert in the absence of Moses, and so angered the true God. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the number 666, the number 9, and you'll find out about Obama, who says he has authority from God to determine who will live and who will die, and we'll discuss it. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. Who would have ever thought that Rothschild would be the power behind the presidency of the United States? This is Tex Mars. My newest video is out, and what a smashing thing it is. 90 minutes long. It could be the most important video I've ever produced, and I've produced some 25 or so. It's entitled Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama and the Hidden Cabal behind the plot to murder America. A good friend of mine said, Tex, murder America? Isn't that a little extreme? Aren't you a little bit over the top in giving it that title? There's a plot to murder America? Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Do you not murder a country when you defraud and take all the money out of its treasury, empty its treasury, and leave the people bankrupt and hugely in debt? Is that not a form of murder or assassination? Is it not murder to totally destroy the Constitution, the basic law of a nation? I think that's what's happening in Washington, D.C. Is it not a murder of a country to overwhelm the citizenry with tens of millions of illegal aliens? Oh, yes, that's murder. That's the murder of a nation. But I want to tell you something, friends. I mean more than that. I mean literal murder of people. You know, for many years now, they've been building concentration camps in America. I remember reading in the Associated Press and other news sources where during the Bush administration, they paid over $400 million to Halliburton's KBR division to build new so-called camps. Oh, they're getting ready. They're going to set up quarantines, possibly with this vaccine, this immunization, and they're going to be forcing people to go away. Many people will suddenly disappear. This happened in Argentina back in the 70s. They call all the missing people the disappeared. And wives and mothers went to the police station frantic and said, "Where's my husband? Where's my son? Where's my daughter?" And the police said, "They no longer exist. They're the disappeared. Forget about them. Pretend they were never born." Friends, I believe someday millions of Americans will be arrested in the middle of the night, taken away, and put in camps. We will become the disappeared. It will be as if we never existed. And what happens at those camps? They're killing factories. That's what they are. Killing factories. It is not for no reason that God said in his Old Testament, "All they who hate me love death." Did you know that Jesus said God is not God of the dead, but God of the living? There's a reason why there's movie after movie about communication with ghosts and dead people, with spirits, about zombies rising up from their graves out of the dead, about vampires, the dead living again, only to suck and extract the blood from victims. Friends, these are fiendish movies, fiendish movies. There's even a movie out about necrophilia, having sex with the dead. Sick, disgusting, vile. In these last days, the dead are honored and worshiped as demons. And they're given reverence by the youth of our nation. Congregation of the dead. The Bible says there is a congregation of the dead. And I believe they're murdering America, and they will actually murder millions of people. It will come to that unless God somehow intervenes, unless we stand up for our rights and demand they stop what they're doing. And my video, Rothschild's Choice, is just one bullet in our arsenal. One bullet, but you've got to have it, dear friends. It is powerful, the truth in this video. I'm already hearing back from the few people, it just came out last week, and the few people that have seen it, they're just amazed. They can't believe that this video is available. And some people say, "Tex, your days are numbered. This is a dangerous thing you've done with this video." Well, I know that. I know that. But I have a protector. I have God on my side. I don't worry. I sleep at night. I slept in the room number 666. At the Amway Grand Plaza, like a baby. I'm not afraid, but I'm afraid for the millions who must suffer and die because of this horrible plot to murder America. And it all emanates from these billionaire Zionist Illuminati families that control our banks and control the political governments of this world. Rothschild's Choice. Barack Obama and the hidden cabal behind the plot to murder America. Never a video like this one. 90 packed minutes. You'll find out who Barack Obama really is, who's behind him, what they're doing, who's with him in Washington, D.C. doing it. You got to have this video. It's as simple as that. And I, friends, I'm begging you, don't buy one copy. Buy more than one copy and pass it out to your friends. Please, please. Here's how to get it. Rothschild's Choice. You can phone us toll free. That's during weekdays, 8 to 5, at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. It's $25 for a 90-minute DVD. $25. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. And we've got our good friend, Paul, who makes these videos for us. And reproduces them. And I'm telling you, we're packaging them left and right here in Austin, Texas. We're going to keep plenty on the shelf. And you give us your order and we'll get it out in a day or two. We'll have it right back to you. It all depends on the postal service because we do our job here. You know why, friends? Let me tell you. You come first with us. You place an order with us. We're going to work whatever hours it takes to get that order out. You deserve it. We work for you. Don't ever forget, we do not work for anybody but God and you, our good friends out there. God first and you second. And we come third. That's just the way it is. We come third. You're second. God's first. We're going to take care of you. We always have. It's our policy to take care of our good friends. And we love it when you call. And you'll always find everybody friendly here. And the receptionists, the order takers, they love their jobs and they love helping you. And many, many years ago, every once in a while, I'd get complaints about a surly or snappy order taker. Well, we got rid of those people. If you don't love your job, go somewhere else. I mean, we're in the business of caring for folks here. And that's what we do. But you'll like the people we have here. Cammy and Jerry and Sandra and Michelle, Phyllis. They're just wonderful folks. When they answer the phone, they'll take care of you. They like to hear from you, you know? And so with your order, of course, we'll give you our free newsletter, Power of Prophecy. Hard copy. You can also see it online at powerofprophecy.com. And by the way, you can order that video, Rothschild Choice. Even see a 4-minute preview of it free online at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. You can see previews of all of my recent videos. Architectural Colossus, Where the Rich and Famous Dwell, Face to Face with the Devil. You can see little 3 or 4 minute snippets of all of them absolutely free online. Our telephone number again, 1-800-234-9673. Our website, powerofprophecy.com. And then you can send us $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, total of $30, and order by mail. Just leave me a ticket notice up and say, "Tech, send me the video, Rothschild's Choice. Here's $30 postpaid. I'll get it right back to you." Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's go to our regular program. We're talking about the number 9, witchcraft, the number of magic and alchemy, the most wicked number of all. 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18 in occult numerology. And 1 plus 8, then you add the 2 digits together, equals 9. So concealed within the number 9 is 666. The number 9 is an interesting number. You can take it and multiply it. Square it, 9 times 9 equals 81. Add the 8 and 1 together, you get 9. You could take 9,999 and multiply it times 9,999. And whatever number you come up with from that, you add all the digits together and you come up with 9. Wherever you go in 9, you got 9. 9 is a real prime number there, isn't it? Well, let's talk about this number 666. In the six-pointed star, you'll find coded 666. Here's why. Check it out for yourself. There are 6 points on the six-pointed star. 6 external points. There are six, exactly six triangles found within the six-pointed star. And right in the very middle of it is another symbol, the hexagon, a six-sided symbol. So you have six sides of the hexagon, six triangles, and 6 points. 666. Say, Tex, that's just a coincidence. Surely the Talmudic Jews, the rabbis of today, do not worship or believe in the magic of 666, which equals 9. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Can I prove it to you? Oh, yes. I have a newsletter here from a rabbi. In fact, one of the best known rabbis in America, Professor Zev Barlev, that's Z-E-V-B-A-R-L-E-V. He's professor with the Department of Linguistics and Oriental Languages at San Diego State University. And he wrote a letter to Rabbi Or Samayak, who puts out the newsletter, Ask the Rabbi. Ask the Rabbi. Now, Or Samayak has an institution of Jewish education, you might say, Talmudic education in Jerusalem, Israel, called the Or Samayak Institutions of Jerusalem, Israel. So we're talking about some real high-level Jews, okay? And I have the June 10th, 2000 issue, number 277, in front of me. And so they invite people such as Professor Zev Barlev of San Diego State University to ask the rabbi any question and they'll answer it. And I have it here, right here. It's about, oh my goodness, this goes on and on. It's about 15 pages long, the answer. I'd like to read a little bit to you what they say in here about the number 666. Now here's what the Professor Zev Barlev wrote the rabbi of Ask the Rabbi. He said, Dear Rabbi, you recently wrote, quote, the numerical value of Mea Shearim is 666, a number which has esoteric and Kabbalistic meaning in Judaism, as indicated by the Vilna Gaon in his commentary to the Zohar. Now, this is the most holy book called the Zohar of the Jewish Kabbalah. And evidently, the rabbi had written that 666 has great esoteric and Kabbalistic meaning then in the Judaic religion. He says, now you've got me curious, says the professor. In the American media, I only hear of 666 for its mystic significance in Christianity, a negative meaning associated with Satan. So what is the mystic significance of 666 in Judaism? Ah, yes. What do the Jews say? Ask the rabbi about 666. Oh, yeah. Well, the rabbi writes back, Dear Professor Barlev, I cannot tell you the answer to your question. It is a mystical secret. Just kidding. He starts off with a little joke. Just kidding. The truth is, he says, that the key to the mystical secrets are not in any book, they're in your heart. But then he goes on to say, but I will explain as much as I know on the subject. And here's what he says, quote, the number 666 has significance as the numerical value of the Hebrew verse, Atah Yigdal Nakoach Adonai, which means, now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great. Get it, friends? The number 666, according to the Jews, has significance as the numerical value of this Hebrew verse, which, by the way, is found in the Old Testament, Numbers 14, verse 17. Now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great. He goes on to say, this was Moshe's prayer invoking divine mercy on behalf of the Jewish people. Moses' prayer, in other words. Ooh. Then he goes on to say, the Zohar, that's the Jewish Kabbalah, explains that, quote, the number 666 contains hidden within it exalted and lofty messianic potential. Ah, yes. The Jewish rabbis teach from their Kabbalah, the Zohar, that the number 666 contains hidden within it exalted and lofty messianic potential. This is the number of their Messiah. Exalted, lofty. This is the number that they pray to. Now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great. Remember, they reject the name of Jesus. Who is the power of their Lord? Who is their Lord? Who is the one who has messianic potential, exalted and lofty? The number 666 is his number. They go on to say, we do know, says the rabbi, that the number 6 represents the physical world. Oh, yes, the physical world. The Antichrist will be born into the world in the flesh, incarnated by the devil. Revelation 13. For it is the number of a man, the number of the beast, and his number is 666. Their Messiah will be a man, the Antichrist, 666. It says 666 is repeated 3 times, the rabbi says, and repeating a concept 3 times represents the affirmation and strength of that concept. Therefore, the number 666 could thus represent the strength and perfection of the physical world, which Judaism teaches will occur in the Messianic era when the physical world will reach its ultimate purpose. You see, our goal, our quest is for heaven as a Christian. We want to leave this old world behind. We want to rise up and be with Jesus Christ in heaven. But the Jews say, oh no, we want to perfect the physical world. And our Messiah represents that lofty and exalted number of the physical world to which the highest degree is 6 and tripled to give it affirmation and strength is, it becomes 666, which represents the strength and perfection of the physical world. They want this world for their kingdom. And their Messiah represents 666 and the physical world. If they could perfect it, which they want to do, and one way they could perfect it, they believe, is by destroying all of the trash that resides within it. I think Tex Mars is part of that trash they'd like to get rid of. And I suspect you are too, dear friends. So the rabbi says that I could talk about more, but now you know that 666 is a very holy number to the Jews. And that's why 666 is their six-pointed star that they lie and call the Star of David. But he never had that star, because in the book of Acts, Paul said, it's that star that you worshiped in the desert when you apostatized against God, and the children of Israel worshiped the gods of Egypt, and you worship the star of your god, Rimphon, also called Kiun. That's in the Bible, in the book of Acts. The people of Israel, instead of worshiping the true God, in the absence of Moses, they turned to the Egyptian gods. They built themselves an idol of a golden calf and worshiped the star of their god, the Egyptian god. Isn't it amazing what we can learn from the Bible and from studying these things? Amazing, isn't it? They put a hex, a curse upon themselves. Well, let's go some more here, because this is so exciting to talk about numbers and magic and witchcraft. I was reading again. I guess I've read it a dozen times, the book 1984 by George Orwell, because, friends, it's here today. I call the population living in the world today Orwell's children. And I was looking at it again. Even the number 1984, I think, has significance. You add the digits and you come to 13. 1 plus 9. There's just a 1 there. when you get to 10, and then the 8 and the 4, you come to number 13. But listen, turn to page 1, chapter 1 of the book 1984 by George Orwell. You know, this is the book where we get such terms as newspeak, doublespeak, big brother, etc. I like the way it opens up. I love books that begin in a very unusual and strange way. I do. It so sets the tone for the whole book. I wish I could write books like that. I'll just have to keep writing the books I'm writing and let you judge as to whether they grab your attention. This one grabbed my attention right away from the beginning, many years ago when I read it the first time. It says here, quote, "It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. Huh? Right away, you say, whoa, this is going to be different. The clocks were striking 13? It goes on to talk about Winston Smith, sort of the hero, the main character of the book. He had to walk up the stairs into his apartment building and go up to the floor where his little apartment was because the elevator was broken. The flat, he said, was 7 flights up. In other words, the apartment was 7 flights up, and Winston, who was 39 years of age, 39. I think even that number was chosen on purpose. He was 39. The clocks were striking 13. You know, there's a cult movie. Actually, it's meant to be a cult, but it is, because if you understand the symbology, it's a famous British movie. I saw it not too long ago on TV, and I was interested again in the very interesting part. The name of the movie is 39 Steps. 39 Steps. 3 times 9 equals 27. 2 plus 7 equals 9. You know, New Age numerologist, occultic numerologist, satanic numerologist for that matter, just seem to love the number 9. Yeah, in my book, Codex Magica, I talk for a little bit about the Jewish Kabbalah and its use of the number 9. And I actually show some pictures of Jerry Seinfeld, the Jewish comedian from, you know, the Seinfeld TV show. And I show him using all kind of hand signs and so forth. I received an email from a friend of mine. They said, "Dear Tex, about Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld is into the number 9 big time. Why, I don't know. His show lasted exactly 9 years. The number of his address is 81. 8 plus 1 equals 9. I've read in magazines that he seeks out things with the number 9 and operates and organizes his whole life around the number 9. Weird." And that was signed by Dean. Thank you, Dean, for sending me that. Seinfeld and the number 9. Oh, yeah, Hollywood knows the number 9, the number of the beast concealed. There's a new movie out about UFO aliens visiting our world and such. And it's interesting. It's entitled District 9. District 9. Interesting, isn't it? Of course, there's also Warehouse 13. Another Hollywood production. There you get the mystical supernatural number 13. Dan Brown, author of The Da Vinci Code, has a new book out now, The Lost Symbol. Makes you wonder if he didn't read my book, Codex Magica and Mysterious Monuments. Talks about the architecture, the occult architecture, the Masonic architecture of Washington, D.C. That's what I expose in my book, Mysterious Monuments. They released his new book, get this, on September 15th, 2009. September the 9th month, then the 15th, you add 1 and 5, you get 6, and then the year 9. 969. Interesting numbers. On a package of Wheaties, somebody sent me the package, the Breakfast of Champion Wheaties. It says, "Fueling wind since 1924. 2 + 4 = 6. What's next? Go to Wheaties.com/evolution. Be a part of the evolution. 090909. What's Wheaties got to do with 09? Somebody told me, they called me, William from Minnesota, and he said, Tex, I went into the Target store yesterday and they have the new Beatles collection. The new Beatles, you know, CD, music collection. And they released it exactly on the date 9/09/09. The Beatles, of course, were into all kind of Hinduism, witchcraft magic, Satanism. John Lennon was a Satanist. So it's only understandable why they would release their new music set on 9/09/09. And now we get to Obama and 9/09/09. All right, now let's get to Obama. Things are getting a little bit scary in this healthcare program that Obama wants for us. Of course, Sarah Palin says they're going to set up death panels to decide who's going to live and who's going to die. And if you're too elderly, well, you're not, you're just unfit. Or maybe you're just a sorry person because you're a Christian or a patriot or something. Well, they may decide not to give you medical care. Who knows? But what I do know is we're face to face with this CDC warning about, you know, the swine flu that's going to come to us. And of course, Obama's named a new health commissioner, a guy to head the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Dr. Thomas Frieden, a Jew. I think the fix is in there. But listen to this. On August the 19th, according to Politico.com, article by Ben Smith, it seems that Barack Obama had a telephone conference call with a group of rabbis, among whom was a rabbi, Jack Moline, whom Ben Smith and Politico.com quotes. Let me read it out to you. I'm going to read it out direct. In President's call with the rabbis today, that's August the 19th, he talked about his health care reform and put a great deal of religious meaning into it. He stated to the rabbis, quote, "We are God's partners in matters of life and death." He and the rabbis? They're God's partners in matters of life and death? And Obama went on, according to Rabbi Moline, and he said, he quoted from the Rosh Hashanah prayer. That's one of the highest holy days of the Jews. And Obama quoted from the Rosh Hashanah prayer. And he said that in this holiday period, that's late September, it is decided who shall live and who shall die. The president ended the call by wishing the rabbis Shana Tova, or Happy New Year, in reference to their high holy days. Now, friends, on September 19th is the highest holy day of the Jews, called Rosh Hashanah. On September 28th this year is another high holy day of the Jews, Yom Kippur. And according to the rabbis, according to Rosh Hashanah prayer, according to President Obama, this is the period when it is decided who shall live and who shall die. Friends, we are not God's partners in deciding who shall live and who shall die. That is God's decision alone. Barack Obama is absolutely wrong. It's in the Judaic religion. They decide whether we live or die, but they are devils. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been talking about the number 9 and its mystic significance. And Barack Obama's message to the nation, 9/09/09. And his claim that he's God's partner in deciding who lives or dies. Not true. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time, dear friends, and discover the power of prophecy.